Time to talk some Husker football for the second season in a row. We're fortunate enough to have the Husker radio analyst join us, a member of the Nebraska team who won a share of the 97 national title. If you're going to make a TD catch, make it count. He was on the receiving edge of the legendary throw from Scott Frost, the flea kicker, to keep the perfect season alive against Missouri. We welcome back Matt Davison. Matt, how are you?
Steve, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate you having me.
You know, I'm older than you. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, and sometimes I see a song or a movie, and I'm like, my God, that's 35, 40 years old, and I almost want to reach for the vodka. When it dawns on you that November 8th is 20 years since that magical moment and season, what goes through your head?
Well, it depends on the time of day. If it's early in the morning, then I feel old, and I'm moving pretty slow. You know, if it's a certain part of the rest of the day and I'm working out, I feel a little bit better. Then once in a while, I look in the mirror, realize I've lost all my hair, and I'm a little wrinkled up, and then I realize, yeah, that was a while ago. So it kind of depends on the time of day, but boy, it was fun, man.
You can follow Matt on Twitter. The handle's at Matt_Davison. So when we spoke last year, you talked about your relationship with Scott Frost, obviously well-known in these parts. You guys are really good friends. So he took Central Florida from winless to a bowl. They scored 61 in their season opener. So how's your buddy doing as a first-time head coach?
Well, he's doing well so far, Steve. I was down there last week for their opener when they played Florida International, and it was great to see the strides that his team has made. I mean, one of the major things, obviously, when you don't win a game 2 years ago, was you just had to talk to these guys about how to win. And last year, they were able to do that six times, which I think shocked everybody. And they started out with a win this year, so we'll see how many they can rack up. But they have a tough schedule coming up with Memphis this week, and then Georgia Tech, and then Maryland. So it's tough sledding for UCF the next 3 weeks.
Talking with Matt Davison, radio analyst for Nebraska. I saw your interview on the Big Ten Network, and I thought you guys raised an important issue that Mike Riley took over a program running an offense that really not his style in Tanner Lee, the transfer. You got more of the prototypical pocket passer. Any logic to this maybe is where Coach Riley and his longtime coordinator, Danny Langsdorf, maybe see their preferred system take root?
Oh, I think for sure. I mean, if you talk to him in the off season, you talk to him, you know, in fall camp, leading into things. I mean, Tommy Armstrong was a really good football player, but his skill set didn't necessarily fit what Mike and Danny like to do offensively. You guys know out there they like the big pocket passer, the guy that's a prototypical NFL type of guy that can really make all the throws. And really, it's not as big of a consideration whether or not the guy can move very much. And so, although Tommy was a good college quarterback, he didn't really fit their system. And it wasn't Tommy's fault that Bo Pelini got fired. They brought in a system that didn't match his skill set. So it was really just not a great mix. They did the best they could with what they had. And so now Tanner Lee fits much better what Mike Riley wants to do. Danny Langsdorf, I think the play calling and the personnel now offensively fits more of what they want to do.
Here in Oregon, folks have seen the defense switch three times in 3 years. The Huskers have a new coordinator, Bob Diaco, who's got a terrific resume, won the Broyles Award as the top assistant at Notre Dame when they played for the title 5 years ago. I know Arkansas State had over 400 passing yards, but they threw it about 70 times. Other new defensive coaches, how big a change is this, and how patient do Husker fans need to be as the guys adjust?
Well, it's two different questions. I'll tell you, it's a big change. Three new coaches on defense, and Bob Diaco's system much different than what the guys were playing the last couple of seasons, going from 4-3 to 3-4. But there's no question Bob Diaco is an accomplished coach, and I think he definitely knows what he's doing. But now you're in year three with Mike Riley, so how patient will the fan base be? That's a whole other question. And we'll see, you know, how the season progresses here. Obviously, Mike's first year didn't go as he had planned or as anybody had planned, as he went 6-7 in that first season. And last year, they were able to win 9 games. So it's like, okay, are we still progressing or are we taking a step backwards? And so we'll see how the season goes. I mean, it's so early to tell. But definitely the first game, Steve, was not what Nebraska fans were looking for. it really came down to the last play of the game against Arkansas State, and if they score a touchdown there, I'm pretty sure they go for two and have a chance to beat Nebraska in Memorial Stadium to start the season. Now, that didn't happen, and so you chalk it up as a win. You take every win you can get at this level. But at the same time, yeah, we everybody knows the team they're going to face Saturday is way better than Arkansas State and going to have way better players on offense. So you better, you know, strap it up and be more ready. And I think you'll see a more complex system defensively. I don't think Nebraska was doing anything special against Arkansas State. But it's been a big adjustment, I think, for this defense, and hopefully they can make big strides from week one to week two, because we know it's going to be tough out there in Austin Stadium.
Talking Nebraska football with radio analyst Matt Davison. By the way, for the record, when you talk with Coach Diaco, if you tell him you spoke with someone from Wayne, New Jersey, that's like the town over from where he grew up, I guarantee you get a smile. So
I'll bring it up to him on the plane.
One general question. We were talking about the sellout streak at Memorial Stadium and that it dates to the Kennedy administration. And we were talking about, you know, Oregon last year had the second longest streak that started in 1999. And we're talking about how engaged that community and synonymous they are with Husker football. I mean, how much do they wear that sellout streak like a badge among that fan base?
There's no question that they do, and they should. I mean, there's been a lot of money and time and effort invested into this program for many, many decades, going back to the early 60s and even before that. And so, you know, if you're a Nebraska fan, if you have a family member who's a Nebraska fan, if you grew up in Nebraska, obviously you've been a fan your whole life. And so it's just kind of a part of the culture. It's in the water here. And so everybody's really proud of that, and a lot goes into it. A lot of commitment, a lot of people driving a long way. We do not have a big population in this state.
Sure.
Only, you know, there's 300,000 people in Lincoln now, maybe, but only 1.8 in the whole state. So people are making long drives to get to these games, and it takes a big commitment over a lot of years. And most of those years were positive years where Nebraska won a lot of games, but there's been a few years lately where it wasn't so good, and Husker fans still come out and sell the thing out. So it's a pretty special place in that way.
No, I find it fascinating. A couple final thoughts for Matt Davison. Not many programs have a better rep for running the ball historically than Big Red. You think of Rozier, Amon Green. What could you tell us about Trey Bryant, who went for 192 last week with a TD, and the kind of player this young guy is?
Well, he's about 5'11", 200 pounds. He's big enough that he can break some tackles, but he has great quickness at the line of scrimmage. He hurdled a couple of guys last week. He made a couple of really nice runs, but, you know, that was the most we've seen him by a mile. He was, you know, not the starter a year ago, so he got some sparing time here and there. But, you know, this is a kid that I think got a lot better in the offseason. He was pretty highly touted out of high school, and came in here and worked really hard, and no, I don't think anybody saw him getting 31 carries a week ago. I don't even think he probably expected that, but he did a great job. He looked the part. He had great burst. I like him a lot, and maybe more than that, our offensive line played better than I anticipated, and really, you know, did a good job in pass pro and did a good job when we decided to run it. So I was excited about how the offensive line played, and I think Trey Bryant was one of the bright spots in that opener for Nebraska offensively.
Let's wrap with the Nebraska view of this trip, first ever to Autzen. You know, 25 years ago, Oregon not known nationally like it is now. Aside from Penn State, this is probably one of the more high-profile road games this year. You know, you think about Ohio State, Wisconsin, the season ender against Iowa and Lincoln. So what's been the buzz around the players, the coaches, about playing this program at this venue as literally the lone road trip on the non-conference schedule?
Well, as you know, Steve, when you schedule these games, a lot of times you schedule them years out, and you don't know who's going to be there, how good the team's going to be, or who the coach is going to be. A lot has changed in both of these programs since this game was put on the schedule. And I can tell you, our fans have been looking forward to this game for many years. And, you know, I don't know that anybody thought Mike Riley would be the coach or that Willie Taggart would be the coach, but here we are. And, you know, both teams, you know, a year ago had a great battle in Lincoln, and now we get to go back out there. I can tell you our fans are excited. I think people in Eugene are going to be really surprised by the number of people that are out there in red, either looking for tickets or have already bought tickets. There's a lot of people going out there from Nebraska and from California and from the West Coast, Husker fans that live out there. They're excited. This is going to be a great experience. Our you know, the whole Duck brand with Nike and everything, the excitement that they've had in their program for the last 10-plus years, 15 years, you know, it's been so fun to watch from afar. And now we get to see it up close. So everybody's excited, including me. I've been out there to see you guys a couple of times, but it's going to be fun to come out and watch Nebraska play Oregon in football. And hopefully we're all, you know, geared up for a close game and a really exciting football game.
Well, I'll tell you, the pure fan in me is really stoked, because last time I saw Nebraska, I saw them beat Penn State to open, I think, the 1983 season at the old Kickoff Classic at the Meadowlands. So
hey, that's been a while, man. And Steve, I hope we get it in. How's the weather? We get this thing in on time?
Yeah, it looks like we'll be okay. Let's just hope that things calm down and there are no new factors thrown in. Matt, kind enough to join us to talk Huskers Ducks. Follow on Twitter, the handle at @Matt_Davison. He'll be alongside the voice of Nebraska football, Greg Sharp, on the Husker Sports Network. Always appreciate your time. You travel safe to Eugene, and I look forward to coming over and say hello in person.
Please do. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one.